Where's Kush? Come on, Kush, I want to see you. Come and sit next to Rohan. Who else? Where's your sister? They're coming. Okay. In the Varnashram Institute, thank you, Kush. And someone can give him a book. We have plenty of books. Everyone should have their own book. So we're in the purport to the first three verses of chapter 16. In the middle of the purport. In the Varnashram institution, the sannyasi, or the person in the renounced order of life, is considered to be the head or the spiritual master of all the social statuses and orders. A brahmana is considered to be the spiritual master of the three other sections of a society, namely the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the shudras. But a sannyasi, who is at the top of the institution, is considered to be the spiritual master of the brahmanas. For a sannyasi, the first qualification should be fearlessness, because a sannyasi has to be alone without any support or guarantee of support. He has simply to depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one thinks, after I leave my connections, who will protect me? He should not accept the renounced order of life. One must be fully convinced that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his localized aspect as Paramatma, is always within, and that he is seeing everything and always knows what one intends to do. One must have this firm conviction that Krishna as Paramatma will take care of a soul surrendered to him. I shall never be alone, one should think. Even if I live in the darkest regions of a forest, I shall be accompanied by Krishna, and he will give me all protection. That conviction is called abhayam, fearlessness. When Prabhupada went to Saraji Mura, what is her name? Yeah, Sumati Muraji. She was saying, I can't let you go because you're going to die there and it'll be on my head. Prabhupada said, I'm not going to die. And it was written that Prabhupada was thinking, when I go to America, if there's nothing to eat, I'll live on potatoes and cereal. He was not concerned. He wasn't worried. Because he knew Krishna was going to take care of him. And when he met that person on the park bench, he said, oh, there are temples, there are devotees, there are books, but he had nothing. But Prabhupada knew it was just a matter of time. Yes? Jai. Very good. Excellent. This state of mind is necessary for a person in the renounced order of life. Then he has to purify his existence. There are so many rules and regulations to be followed in the renounced order of life. Most important of all, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to have any intimate relationship with a woman. He is even forbidden to talk with a woman in a secluded place. Lord Chaitanya was an ideal sannyasi, and when he was at Puri, his feminine devotees could not even come near to offer their respects. They were advised to bow down from a distant place. This is not a sign of hatred for women as a class, but it is a stricture imposed on the sannyasi not to have close connections with women. One has to follow the rules and regulations of a particular status of life in order to purify his existence. For a sannyasi, intimate relations with women and possession of wealth for sense gratification are strictly forbidden. The ideal sannyasi was Lord Chaitanya himself, and we can learn from his life that he was very strict in regards to women. Although he is considered to be the most liberal incarnation of Godhead, accepting the most fallen conditioned souls, he strictly followed the rules and regulations of the sannyas order of life in connection with association with women. One of his personal associates, namely Chokta Haridas, was associated with Lord Chaitanya along with his other confidential personal associates. But somehow or other, this Chokta Haridas looked lustfully on a young woman, and Lord Chaitanya was so strict, they at once rejected him from the society of his personal associates. Lord Chaitanya said, "For a sannyasi, or anyone who was aspiring to get out of the clutches of material nature and trying to elevate himself to the spiritual nature and go back home, back to Godhead, for him, looking toward material possessions and women for sense gratification, not even enjoying them, but just looking toward them with such a propensity, is so condemned that he had better commit suicide before experiencing such illicit desires." So these are the processes for purification. The next item is Jnana Yoga Vyavastiti, being engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. Sannyasi life is meant for distributing knowledge to the householders and others who have forgotten their real life of spiritual advancement. For instance, the description is there in the first canto that Shukadeva Goswami would visit a householder for the length of time it would take to milk a cow, but he was only going to give instruction, to give some spiritual enlightenment to the householder. How long it takes to milk a cow? Huh? Okay, that's good. That's good. A sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door for his livelihood, but this does not mean that he is a beggar. Humility is also one of the qualifications of a transcendentally situated person. And out of sheer humility, the sannyasi goes from door to door, not exactly for the purpose of begging, but to see the householders and awaken them to Krishna consciousness. This is the duty of a sannyasi. If he is actually advanced and so ordered by his spiritual master, he should preach Krishna consciousness with logic and understanding. And if one is not so advanced, he should not accept the renounced order of life. And Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta right from the start, go and preach. But even if one has accepted the renounced order of life without sufficient knowledge, he should engage himself fully in hearing from a bona fide spiritual master to cultivate knowledge. A sannyasi, or one in the renounced order of life, must be situated in fearlessness, sattva sangshuddhi, purity, and jnana yoga, knowledge. The next item is charity. Charity is meant for the householders. Kamlesh, how many times I have heard you mention this point? Yes, that's true. The householders should earn a livelihood by an honorable means and spend 50% of their income to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. Thus, a householder should give in charity to institutional societies that are engaged in that way. Hare Krishna. Charity should be given to the right receiver. There are different kinds of charity, as will be explained later on. Anybody know what chapter? Where is charity described? Nope. So there's only one left. 17. Very good. There are different kinds of charity. Charity in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended by the scriptures. But charity in the modes of passion and ignorance is not recommended because it is simply a waste of money. Whose money is it really? Krishna's money. So therefore, am I allowed to have money? Yes. What? You don't have money? So how do you adjust? Or, just in a general way. Yes, but here's the idea. It's Krishna's money, but he gives everybody an allotment, an allowance. So your allowance may be bigger than my allowance that Krishna has given. So you are given an allowance by Krishna, but use it properly. Because you have free will. He got that 2 million because in his previous life, he earned it. But now in this life, he's not using it. So in his next life, he'll be beggar. Yes. 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 The material realm is all based on your previous karma. Nothing is left to chance. Everything that you are experiencing this life is because you set it up in your previous life. Now what will you do with it? Now depending on how you handle it now, it affects the next chapter. So sometimes the question is asked, Prabhu, my neighbor is so wealthy, my neighbor is this and that, but he's a rascal. Why isn't Krishna smashing him and me? I can hardly pay my rent. Don't worry. Time will come. Just like, did Nrisingadev kill Hiranyakashipu right away? Did Krishna kill Kamsa right away? He lets them go on for some time. When the time is right, pull the plug. Exactly. Shishupal too. 100. Yes. So you don't have to worry about why this guy is... No. Hey. Shh. Yes. 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 You have, yeah, there's a story in the Bhagavatam, the song of the Avanti Brahmana. It's in the 11th canto. And the Avanti Brahmana was so stingy, he wouldn't even give to his family members, he wouldn't even use it on himself. He just liked to see, oh, I got so much money. So yes. Krishna gives you and he wants to see, now what will you do with the allowance I give you? When I was a child, my father would give me 10 cents, 25 cents. But if he saw all I did with the money was buy baseball cards and bubble gum, why he should give me any more? Because he's what a fool. He's not using it wisely, right? So Krishna, just like in even in temples, all temples, right? Krishna will give each temple something, but if they're not utilizing everything Krishna has given them, the temple won't increase. Krishna wants to see, I've given you this much, what are you doing with it? But if you don't use it, yes, Prabhupada tells the story. I will go to a rich man, I will ask for $1 million, I will spend it for Krishna, come back the next day, $1 million please. In other words, it's not my money, I don't calculate. This much for Krishna, this much for me. No. You use everything for Krishna. And when you use everything for Krishna, Krishna will give you more. But he wants to see, have you used everything already that he's given you? Then he'll give you more. I don't know. I don't know. Yes. Yes. We have to assume that if things are not, if Krishna has given you all these things, whatever it may be, but you are not utilizing properly, he's not going to give you more. But when he sees, oh, you're utilizing everything maximum, then he'll give you more. Right? Prabhupada said the same thing to his disciples. Same thing. First you have to see that you're using everything Krishna has given you. Then he'll give you more. Yes, Mr. Hiran. Well, if in this lifetime, both, he'll give you more now. Okay? Let me tell you a practical example in my case. So, I had a desire to preach. So in the beginning, I was getting not so much calls, but then when Krishna saw that Pavaka would call me at the last minute, oh Prabhu, such and such was supposed to come to do the program, can you come now? So I would go at the last minute and do the program. So when Krishna saw, oh, he's willing to do the program at the last minute, then Krishna gave me more. You follow? I can't expect now I'm this and this every... No. So you have to be... And the same way with service in the temple. I didn't get to lead kirtan or give class in ISKCON for maybe the first 15, 20 years. I wanted to, but Krishna was saying no. Clean the kitchen. Clean the schoolroom. Go out on Sankirtan. Then when Krishna sees that you have the service attitude. Service attitude means you can't expect that you get what you want to do. Doesn't work that way. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes. And then when Krishna is pleased with your service attitude, then little. All right, now you can give a class. Now you can, you follow? But you have to be willing first to do the menial. Not that, yes, I have come, I'm ready to sit down and give class today. Like I said, I had to wait almost 20 years. Yes? Now we're talking about two different things. Yes. It can happen this time, lifetime too. Wait a second. We are talking about two different things. One is your material aspect. Okay? So in this lifetime, whatever material facilities you have now is all based on what you did in the past. Correct? You understood that. All right. Now, with whatever he has given you now, whatever that may be, utilize that fully for Krishna. Now, once you start doing it for Krishna, everything changes. See, that's the point. One thing at a time, please. Yes. Two different things. One is strictly material. If one is not a devotee, then whatever one is doing, you get this much in this life, and then whatever you've done in this life determines what happens in your next life. On the material level, you cannot increase or decrease in this life from what you are deserved. You understand? On the material level. But now we're changing the discussion. We're talking about a devotee. Now all bets are off. What I just said no longer applies. Once you start rendering service to Krishna, everything changes. So you, once you start doing things for Krishna, in this life, materially, you may not have been able, you were not destined to get something, but if Krishna wants, he can give you more in this life. Why? Because you're using it for Krishna. You see the difference. One is strictly on the material plane. There's no increase or decrease. But once you become a devotee, things now change. And you're no longer under the same laws. So once you become a devotee, say you were entitled or you, by your karma, you had 15% good things. If you use that 15% for Krishna, he can upgrade your allowance. How's that? Okay? And if you get the upgrade and you use that, then he'll give you another increase. Now the next question was Sri Vallabha. What was your question? Good. You experience. Yes. Okay, who had a question back there? Yes. Right. You own, yes. Yes, you only take with you in your next life the good or bad reactions. The spiritual account, nobody can touch. Are we okay? Everything's clear now? But yes?
Thank you.
Very good. Yes? Everybody happy? Nobody's mad at me? Never? Good. All right. Everybody chant Japa.